God is a God of rhythm. In 7 days, he created the world, designing our bodies and lives to beat and grow in rhythm. From the first flutter of an infant's heart to the final breath before we face eternity, we live each and every moment in rhythm. In Christ, God himself took on our flesh, living in his body the rhythms of each day, just as we do still. By it, he taught us that the Christian faith is not simply spiritual, but real. It is a faith grounded in the realities of our bodies and the rhythms of the world around us, rhythms which Christ took willingly upon himself. God is a God of rhythm.
As you turn to the scriptures and open your heart today, I want to mention tonight just quickly that it's going to be a very unique night. I don't know if we've ever done this on a Sunday night, but it's going to be another intergenerational night, and so we welcome all ages to come out tonight. We will be in the multipurpose hall. I will speak from Psalm 23. We're going to have our series continue, but then we're going to break into our intergenerational groups, and we're going to discuss the Word of God together, which is a very biblical thing to do. And so the older generation with the younger around a table and with a set of questions and things, so we welcome you tonight. I think it will be an excellent time together. Now hang with me today because we have three passages I want to look at in Genesis and then a little bit later in Exodus and a little bit later in the Gospel of Mark. But I just want to mention something as we go into this, and we're talking about rhythm. If you're new to this series, we introduced it, of course, and every week with our different video. This was a new one today, but we're just trying to remind us of how rhythmic life is, how God created all of his creation, including us, our bodies, our souls, and our spirits, and he put within us rhythm. And it's something not only to understand, but to incorporate then and really to honor in our lives. And that's the heartbeat of this series. We've looked at three rhythms we called life rhythms of work and play and trials or suffering. And then we moved this month into three spiritual rhythms of solitude and prayer. And last week we talked about self-examination. Today now we're moving into a third area, and these are called rhythm of body. And we're going to take 3 weeks, and today is, of course, the subject before you there of rest. But at the heart of this series is something that I have mentioned at a couple of nearby ministry chapels, and I mentioned it to Wednesday night a couple of times here in recent weeks. But I really feel if I wanted to give a premise to this, it is something I picked up from a pastor in New York several years ago, and it just would simply be this. The Rhythm Series premise is this. It is impossible for a Christian to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. Let me say that again. It is impossible for a Christian to be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. Kind of like the barrel illustration that I've used in recent weeks. Last week, if you were here, the hose moment for me on a Friday morning when I held that hose in my hand, and it was a moment of some unhealthy things to come up out of me. I think of Jesus in Matthew 15 when he talked to the crowd and he said this. He said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." Verse 17, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these are what make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft." And a lot of us right there, we look at those things and say, well, that has nothing to do with me. But then you need to look at the next two. False testimony, which means a lie. And how many know lies? What we often call a little white lie, but it's a false testimony. And oh, we love to grade our sins, don't we? The little sins and the big sins. But how many know sin is sin? So at times, even out of us sometimes, false testimony, certainly slander. I've been on the end of that in my life and ministry. Thankfully, not at all in the last few months, but in the past. Could I hear an amen? All right, thank you for being with me this morning. Verse 20. "These are what make a man unclean, but eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." When Jesus said this, it says that the Pharisees got ticked off. This offended them when he said this. Why? Because they were so clean on the outside. Their barrel looked so clean, but Jesus knew what was on the inside. And so as he spoke those words, they stood among the crowd and they got angry at him because he was nailing it on the head. And that is that many times the outward can look so right, but what's on the inside is all that matters to God. That's why when David came along and he anointed him king of Israel, it says he looked at him. There was something to David. It's that God saw in David. It wasn't the outward appearance. Samuel the prophet keeps saying, and this must be the one. This must be the one. And he passes on every one of those that to a man looks to be the man. But to God, God says, oh, here he is. His name's David, this ruddy-faced, handsome little boy. And he's the future king of Israel. You know why? Because God said, don't look on the outward appearance, but look on the heart. That's what Jesus was saying. So as we look at this series, really, the heart of this is to get you and I to slow down and in a lot of ways, just take stock of our lives. Slow our pace enough to let God speak to us. And there may be things in our barrel that need to be dealt with. One question I asked a couple weeks ago, how do I get a rhythm in my life in a culture that has no rhythm? It's a great question. Peter Scazzaro asked. And I said, I'll give you half the answer that day and the other half in a few weeks. Well, today is that day. And these two, to me, helping me get a rhythm. First of all is the daily office, and we handed that out to you, and that is something that's been used in monasteries for years. And don't let that freak you out this morning, because all that it is a devotional time. It's just taking the Word of God, breaking it down three times in a day, and disciplining yourself to slow down and at least do it once, maybe twice, maybe three times in your day to slow and spend a few minutes with God. As you leave today, in case you've lost yours or weren't here, on the tables there on both Campbell and the Boonville side, you have the daily offices are right there. And daily office is something that, along with today's subject of the Sabbath, help you and I establish rhythms in our lives, two very faithful, fruitful and useful things. And the reason the heart of this, hear me today, Central, I want us to be healthy people. I've met some really unhealthy Christians. I know you never have, but I have. I've met some that honestly, when Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world, do you remember that he followed up those statements with something negative? Do you remember that? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? I've met a lot of really unsavory barrels called Christians. Could I hear an amen this morning? Yeah, and you know what? It brings shame to Jesus. It's a shame. It's a bummer. And you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do men take a light and what? Put it under a bowl. He is saying you've got to be healthy light that's going to penetrate the darkness. We want to be salt. We want to be salty and savory for the Lord. And so the heart of this today, the heart of this whole series is that we be healthy people spiritually, which in turn as well is emotionally healthy in our lives. Anne Frank helped us a few weeks ago, and I give you these quotes again. She said, the best remedy for those who are afraid or lonely or unhappy is to go outside somewhere where they can be quiet, alone with the heavens, nature, and God, because only then does one feel that all is as it should be. Thomas A. Kempis said, seek a convenient time in your life to retire unto thyself. In other words, to get alone and meditate often upon God's loving kindness. The greatest saints avoided the society of men, in other words, crowds of people, when they could conveniently, and they did rather choose to live to God in secret, to get alone with God. And did you know that God literally forced the issue for us to do this? God had a plan from the very, very beginning of Scripture. It's on a rhythmic basis in our lives that he intends you and I to do these things so that we will be healthy people for him. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. The end of chapter 1, and there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Follow me in your outline. The daily office is for daily rhythm. That's the purpose of that. That's why they practice it. The monks would. It's because it was to get a rhythm in your life of spending time with God every single day. We call it a quiet time. We call it a devotional time, whatever you want to call it. But it's something that if you incorporate daily into your life, it is a healthy thing. We need to meet with God every day. That's a daily rhythm. The Sabbath is there to be a weekly rhythm. And it's something as well for our health, as we'll see today. Christianity Today magazine, about 20 years ago, Eugene Peterson, that's given us the Message Bible, the paraphrase, and in that article that he wrote about 20 years ago, he called himself a Sabbath breaker. He admitted that he had broken the Sabbath in his life, but he used a line. He said, Sabbath keeping gets us into step with the rhythm of the Savior. Sabbath keeping gets us into step with the rhythm of the Savior. Does God have a rhythm for you today? Yes, he does. Some of you never have caught this, but I pray today it will revolutionize your life because it's in Scripture. Did God himself have a rhythm? Well, apparently so. Matter of fact, all of his creation ran in a rhythm. However you want to define the days, I'm not into science today, I'm not worried about that. But you'll read in chapter 1, it's sequential, it's in order, it was day after day. And you go all the way to the end of chapter 1, and it's been on this day, and this day, and this day, and this day. And we come to the end, and it says, thus the heavens and the earth, chapter 2, verse 1, in all of their vast array, they were completed. And what did God do? It says, verse 3, God blessed the seventh day then, and he made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. Listen, the first thing in Scripture called holy is not God. It's not a thing. It's not part of the temple or any type of worship, any of that. The first thing called holy in the Word of God is a day. It's the last day of what you and I call a week, the seventh day. And it begins with God himself, not with us, with him. He rested. And trust me, he didn't need any rest, but he rested. And the word Sabbath doesn't come along then until the 16th chapter of the next book, the book of Exodus. And by as we look at the root meaning of the word Sabbath, we understand it means to stop. Sabbath means to cease. Just what God did here. He stopped and rested from his work. Notice it was a deliberate action on God's part. And you and I look at it, you know, and he didn't need rest. Of course not. He's God. But he did. He stood back. He said, oh, it's very good. And then he rested that seventh day. And he took time, apparently. And there are seven. And however you're getting, you're going to look at it. If you look at it in a theory that each day was a trillion years, and then it's a trillion, a trillion, a trillion, a trillion. And you get to the seventh, and he spent a trillion years just resting after six other days that were trillions. If you look at, oh, it's a thousand years for each of those days of creation. Well, then it was a thousand and a thousand, and he had 6 days that were a thousand each, and then he took a thousand years, and he just rested for that seventh period. Did God have to do that? No. Why did he do that? We're going to see today. But it has to do with stopping. And seriously, as we look at this, the beauty of it is that when God ceased, it wasn't just for a moment. He didn't take a deep breath and then go back into work. He stopped and he gave it an equality. He gave it a day of rest after those six. Then we come later to chapter 16 then of the next book, Exodus, and we see that God not only wanted it for Israel, he commanded the Sabbath. And that brings us to point number one today, the priority of a Sabbath. The priority of a Sabbath. If you have your Bibles today, you can look to Exodus 20, but if you don't, you can just trust me. There are the Ten Commandments there, and eight of them are basically bullets. No other gods before me. Make sure of no graven images. Don't take my name in vain. Honor the Sabbath day, or remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery. You go down the list of those. Eight of them are pretty much bullets. Two of them are elaborated upon, and they're the second and the fourth commandment. The second being idols. And he explains the fish of the sea or the animals. Don't make any image of this earth to be a god. And then we come to the fourth one, and he really elaborates more on this one than any of them. Verse number 8 there in your Bibles, chapter 20. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Now follow me. Remember it by keeping it holy. He declared it holy in Genesis, and he wants them to keep it holy there in Exodus. So he elaborates, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your manservant or your maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. I mean, a whole elaboration about the Sabbath. And then we come to Deuteronomy 5, that next generation that are about to go into the promised land 40 years later. And he elaborates more. Moses writes it this way to them: "But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter," etc. Verse 15, "Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, since you were once a slave, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe a Sabbath day." See, part of the uniqueness to them as people, God's chosen people, hewn out of the rock of Abraham, what God had in mind for Israel was that they would be a unique people, called unto him, separated under him. And part of it is that they would have a Sabbath. You worked in Egypt. Now you're going to have one day a week that you are not going to work. You're going to have a Sabbath. It would be a priority. And Israel, for 3,500 years or more, have practiced the Sabbath. Matter of fact, rabbis will say you cannot obey the other 9 commandments without obeying the 4th commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I've heard from God countless times in my life, mostly from this book. And I've had those times, as many of you have. I've read that 150 times, 300 times, 1,000 times. Who knows how many times I've read it. And all of a sudden I read something and it's like the Holy Spirit just speaks to me. You ever been there? And I need how fresh God is, how beautiful this eternal word is. It's amazing. I've been there at times when the Lord spoke, as happened to me in Africa just last January. Many of you know, and it plays a part even of us being here and our whole move being uprooted out of Mesa after 18 years. It was a word given by a little sister Ford, and someone gave a message in tongues, and a word was given. And the minute I heard the opening words, "my son," I knew it was me. God took me all the way north of Nairobi just to talk to me. Didn't he know he could talk to me in Arizona? I would have listened. But it was remarkable. And the minute she started speaking, it'll be a moment I'll never forget. I've also had only a few times in my life I've heard that still small voice. Matter of fact, the phrase in the choir, the choral song today was, "Be still my soul to hear the whisper of the Lord." I've only heard that whisper a few times. The last time, as I recall, was I was just getting out of bed a few years ago, and I just had put back the covers, and I go to my knees on the side of the bed every morning, and before I even hit my knees hit the floor, I heard these words, "You are abusing my Sabbath." And I knelt there for a while that morning, and then I started to find out, I'm going to find out what the deal is with the Sabbath. And of course, I understood the Sabbath. I've been raised in church. My dad's a pastor. I know Sabbath, but no, God told me I was abusing his Sabbath. So I had to discover what the purpose of the Sabbath is, which brings us to number 2 today. Why this is even important, because there's a purpose for Sabbath a lot of us don't understand. And if you have your Bibles, go on over to Mark chapter 2 for our third text, Mark chapter 2. But understand, one of the great contentions between Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes of the law, one of the great contentions always was the Sabbath. That seems to spring up more than anything. You're healing on the Sabbath. You're doing things on the Sabbath. Why did it matter so much? Because they were the Sabbath, or the law keepers. They were the guardians of the law. And they felt that Jesus was constantly breaking the law. But what did Jesus say? "I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law." Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount. He said, matter of fact, he upheld the law. He said, if you break one of the least of these commandments, then he said that you'll be least in the kingdom. But if you uphold the law and you teach and practice these laws, he said that you will be great in the kingdom. So he did not come to abolish it, but he did come to fulfill it. And we see a great example in Mark chapter 2. And this is in all 3 synoptic gospels. And it basically is the same story in all 3. So Mark 2, verse 23. "One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? And he answered them, have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Say that with me. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. And they ground their teeth at him because he wasn't upholding the law. But here you have a nugget of truth that I'm telling you, if you can get a hold of this today, this can be revolutionary to your life. Young person, doesn't matter our age today, if we can garner this today. See, though God didn't need one, he took one. He did that to be an example to you and I. And then he commanded us, the fourth commandment of the top 10, remember the Sabbath. That word means to call it to mind, that you work 6 days and then you remember, you call it to mind. Oh, that's right. Tomorrow is my seventh day. I'm going to have a day of rest. And that we work 6 days. We do beautiful things with our hands for 6 days. We put our minds to work for 6 days. We literally create for 6 days. And a mother is home and she's working and she's creating a home and she's creating meals and she's creating an atmosphere for her children to learn and she's mothering and nurturing them. Or you work at 3M or you work in one of the hospitals here or you're creating life as a teacher and your students or you're a salesman creating business and wealth or you're a manager creating productivity among your employees. Whatever you put your hands to do, you do it for 6 days and then you stop and you cease and then you go back to it and you work and you create and you do it for 6 days and you stop and you cease. Desist is what the word means. And then you go back 6 days and you work and you create and you work and you do it 6 days in a row and then you stop. It's a rhythm called the Sabbath. 1/7 of your life. If you live to be 70 years of age, you should have had 10 years of Sabbath. Now, if that feels good, say amen this morning. Wow. The Sabbath is a structure. It's to build a rhythm in our lives. Actually, it is a gift from God. God was saying to me that morning, Jeff, you're abusing something that's a gift. You're not for the Sabbath, Jeff. The Sabbath is for you, but you're abusing my Sabbath. Quite honestly, we go 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days. You'll lose your mind. You'll become like a Yankee fan or something. I'm having fun with that today. Oh, I feel so good. But anyway, but I love you in the Lord. Okay, so let's keep going here. But seriously, we can't go 7 days. Some of you have tried it. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You go 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days, 7 days. You get into I don't know how long along the way, but I guarantee you by month two or three, you will die. You won't even be able to think straight. You will not be able to do it. You'll have to rest. Isn't it amazing how God made our bodies and our minds to operate in that? Every single day, we basically have about 16 hours, and then we're supposed to rest about 8 hours. It's rhythm. It's rhythm. It's for our bodies, our minds, our souls. And if we violate it, I'm telling you, we pay a price. And why do we violate it? Let me just quickly tell you why. A Sabbath is a challenge for us because of our identity. I'm telling you, it's because we're not human doings, we're human beings. But we do, and we go, and we just think that, and we fall into that. Can I just let you know today, sooner or later, trust me, your work will end. Your work will end someday. It'll never end in this life fully, but it'll end. I remember the day that Carmen passed away, my father-in-law, that was the closest family member. I'd lost a grandmother at that point, but that was the closest for me to have. We had been married only about 2 years. Carmen was a precious, precious man. 57 years of age, massive heart attack while out jogging. God had so revolutionized his life. But the day that he died, I remember thinking, what's going to happen to Master's Commission? He's the one that started this thing. It's 1987. He started in the summer of 84. It's February, I believe it was 9th, 1987. It's only been 3 years. Who's going to carry it on? Well, Lloyd Ziegler carried it on for the next 20-some years. Hey, look at where it went all over the world today. All began by little Carmen, a brand-new Christian, been saved a few years when he started it. But I remember that thought. It was striking to me. And how everything stopped around Phoenix First Assembly, how everything stopped in our family of six kids in that Italian, formerly Catholic family. Everything had just stopped, and I remember it was just an ironic sense that, you know what, the youth group's not going to meet Wednesday night, and it really doesn't matter. Matter of fact, as a family, we all got our things together, and I remember the brother-in-laws drove around town, and we went and got our things, and we went over to Ginger's house, and we just slept together, and we're there as a family for a few days, and you know what, everything stopped, because you know what, your work will stop one day. So you might as well decide to practice what God wants you to practice. See, he knew this. All the agrarian cultures throughout millenniums, going into the industrial age, going in and out of the space age and computers and lasers and everything. God knew that we'd keep working, other than those in France. He knew that we would keep working. Oh, that was bad, wasn't it? That was bad. Sorry, is that Greg Mundus over there? Is that Greg? Okay, I'm sorry, brother. Would you go talk sense into them? I mean, come on, this is crazy. It wasn't in my notes originally. Can I just say, each and every one of us will have unfinished work when we die. So why don't we just go ahead and practice what God has set for us. Work six and take a day and stop. Let me close with this, the practice of Sabbath. Now, let me say this before I do. We are basically functional atheists, many of us, the way we live our lives. We claim that we believe in God, we believe in His Word, all of this. But you know what? We don't trust Him enough to work the six and give Him a day. Oh, no. Because we're God. Or else there is no God, and I'm going to be the one over my domain. Listen, it is trusting God when you say, I'll give you six, whatever my work is. I mean, many of you know, the day off then, all you do is you work all around the house, and you do your yard work, and you work. So somewhere in there, you need to have a day where you stop, and you desist, and you rest. So let's look thirdly at how to practice the Sabbath. And I think we see it, as I close very quickly, we see it in the two main texts, Genesis 1 and 2, and then in Mark chapter 2. Again, Genesis 2 said, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all of His work, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because as He rested on it, He rested from all the work of creating that He had done. And then Mark 2, then He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Let me just give you four quick aspects. Number one is stopping. At the heart of the Hebrew for the word Sabbath, its root is to stop, to cease. So part of a Sabbath is everything halts. Second is resting at the very heart. And we just read it in Genesis 2 over and over again. Rest. He rested. He rested. He blessed that day and He rested. Exodus 16, He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. And we all understand that we need rest, but a Sabbath engineers it into our lives. As one theologian put it, to fail to see the value of doing nothing is to miss the heart of Christianity. I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Let's say it again. To fail to see the value of doing nothing is to miss the heart of Christianity. Sabbath is a structure to build nothing, doing nothing into our schedules. So there's stopping and resting, and then there's delighting. And I love this. But did you notice it? You read through the account of creation, and he created the heavens and the earth, and he says, oh, it's good. And then He creates all the foliage and the vegetation. Oh, it's good. And He creates all the animals that teem in the seas and teem upon the earth. And He says, oh, it's good. And He gets done with it all, and He's created man, and He steps back, and God says, oh, it's very good. I love that picture. The Creator was looking at what He had made, and the word there has to do with Him finding pleasure in it. That God literally smiled. He might have laughed, I don't know. But He found pleasure and He said, oh, it's very good. And then you know what He did? He rested. He just stopped, desisted His work. I'm telling you, for some people, the only pleasures they find in life are work and something sinful. Now, none of that happens here, could I hear an amen? At least not the second thing. But seriously, to a lot of people, that's life. They work and they play in ways that God doesn't want them playing. And they end up destroying their lives because the way of the transgressor is very hard. But that's the whole life for them. Whereas as a believer, have you ever stopped to think about maybe what God wants me to do is to work and then to enjoy Him in a day that I set aside and I rest and I just find pleasure in all the great things of life, my family, I just go out and enjoy a sport, whatever it is that you enjoy doing, I guess shopping, if that's what you're into, go ahead, whatever it is, but you just do it on that day, and you just enjoy. And as you're doing it, as you're going through the stores, ladies, it's not just a carnal thing, it's something that you're literally delighting in how wonderful life is, and today is a day of rest and a pleasure in God, because that's what He did after the sixth day. He said, oh, it's very good. He delighted in it. And the last aspect is contemplation, again, back to what we looked at weeks ago. But notice the command, Exodus 2, was it Exodus 20, wasn't it? Yeah, it's Exodus 20. The seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. See, unto the Lord. What I felt God speak to me is, Jeff, you're abusing my Sabbath. That's what I heard clearly. You're abusing my Sabbath. But I realize the Sabbath, though, it's unto the Lord, but it's for me. But it's unto him. It's his. He wants me to have it. He wants me to take it. He was looking out for me and saying, enjoy it, Jeff. Have the Sabbath and do it unto me. And once I made that connection, I realized there are all kinds of things I can do on the seventh day after 6 days of work to enjoy my God and to enjoy the life that he's given me. Remember Henry Nouwen's quote from a few weeks ago? He called it the terrible conspiracy of noise, that we never stop our pace. We just live. And all techies today, I mean, think about it. We're constantly communicating. What would it be like to not have a phone? When my phone breaks, you feel like life is over, don't you? And you run, the most important thing, you know, I've got to quit work, school, everything. I've got to get to AT&T and get a new phone, you know. It's a conspiracy. One of the best things in the world to do is set that phone aside. Maybe go out for an hour and just spend time with God and his beautiful creation. And don't take anything from anybody but him. And have ears open to hear from God and spend time with him. I'll close. The thought of taking truly a Sabbath, what does it do for you today? For some of you say, well, it's revolutionary to me. I understand. To a lot of you, I can't fit in that. I just encourage you, not in a spirit of legalism, but in a spirit of the grace that the Sabbath is made for you. Not you for the Sabbath. So to take it then, what does it do? Don't let it get you anxious, but think about this week and figure out where you can carve out and try to make it where you work the 6 days and then you take a day and it's really about him and life and everything you can enjoy, whatever it is that you enjoy, and just keep it unto him. Lord, I'm worshiping you today with this rest. You know what you will do? You will find a rhythm in your life and you will be a much healthier follower of him. And so we come to the 16th and 17th century common book of prayer, and here is what the prayer says. It's in your outline or on the screen. Almighty God, who after the creation of the world rested from all your works and sanctified a day of rest for all your creatures, grant that we, putting away all earthly anxieties, may be duly prepared for the service of your sanctuary. In other words, be ready to go to church. And that our rest here upon earth may be a preparation for the eternal rest promised to your people in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's a good prayer. Stopping, resting, delighting, contemplating. You know what it is? It's all out of relationship. See, as Daniel was playing acoustic earlier, and I play acoustic, and you could come and talk to us about guitars, and we could talk about it, and I enjoy, and I know the basic strings of A, E, and D, and G, and B, and E, and understand the fret work, and I've had multiple guitars through the years. And you could sit, we could just talk about guitar. Pastor Mike could join. We just talk guitars. But then we could go to a Taylor guitar company and get a guy that's been for 38 years crafting guitars, and let's say he's the expert with the fret work and the pearl inlay and all of that, and all the different kind of woods that go into a Taylor guitar. And we could go, or a Fender, or Gibson, wherever you'd go, and we could talk to someone. They've spent 30, 40 years doing this. Now, who's going to explain a little bit more about a guitar to you, me or him? See, because he makes them. He knows the way they're made, formed. Who are you going to trust to say, well, how do I take care of this instrument? And how do I make sure that it'll last a lifetime? See, that's the heart of the Sabbath. We're hearing from God today, the God that made you. He knows what's best for you. Jeff, you're abusing my Sabbath. Okay, Lord, and I've tried to alter some things. So I try every week. Sometimes it doesn't work. I'm not legalistic about it. I'm okay. But there's some weeks that it doesn't work. But for the most, I will try somewhere to where I've got, if it's not unbroken, at least I figured out where somewhere in it, there's like a 24-hour period that's just resting and delighting in him. And that can be the mall. Yesterday it was going out shooting. Whatever it might be. Just enjoying life, sitting, fellowshipping, enjoying. It's rest, desisting from work. It's healthy. You know why? Because God made you. It's his love for you that calls you to that today. So I want to challenge every college student, every young person here. You say, well, I never thought about this. And you're just so full of life and vim and vigor. I understand at your age, this just seems crazy. But can I tell you, it's a principle for you to honor in your life. And I encourage you somehow try to incorporate it. Even though you've got plenty of life in you. But for some of us, as we get older, we realize the value of this baby. And I tell you what, if you take a Sabbath, you'll be a lot healthier person, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationally, in every way, because it's made for you, not you for it. It's made for you. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me this morning? There was a line in the choir, a choral arrangement earlier that I'd like to read with your heads bowed, no one looking about, if you would, just for a moment. And here's what the line said: "Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Cease from the labor and the toil." Let me read it again. Heads bowed, eyes closed. "Be still, my soul. Be still, my soul. Cease from the labor and the toil." Say, why does a soul labor and toil? You know why? Because we're trying to please God. And I want you to know, as one man said in the quote earlier, at the heart of Christianity is the Sabbath. You know why? Because the only way that we come to a relationship with God is to rest. Say, that's crazy. I know. That's why this is the most unique religion on the planet Earth. There's no religion like Christianity, because Jesus worked at the cross. He finished the work at the cross so that you and I can enter into spiritual rest with Him. The Sabbath is a picture not only of eternity someday, but even right now. I am resting in Jesus. I'm not working my way to heaven. I don't feel like today I have to perform for God so that I go to heaven. I rest that Jesus did the work for me. He died on the cross for my sins. Now, faith without works is dead faith. So that's where the works comes in. It's after we have accepted Jesus. It's once we realize only what He does can save us, then we work for Him, and sometimes we may abuse the Sabbath working for Him, and that's where He wants to pull us in and harness us so that we're healthy. But hear me today, you can't work your way to heaven, and you might be here, and you are trying to be a good person, and you say, but I know that I'm good. It's still not going to be good enough for God. He's holy. He's perfect. But His Son died on the cross so that you could have eternal life today. And if you're here, I want to invite you to rest, to stop your striving. And as that choral song says, cease from the labor, soul, and the toil, soul, and just rest in Jesus today. He did the work for you. If there's anybody here and you say, Jeff, that's me, and today I want to ask Jesus into my heart and my life to forgive me of my sins, and I want to accept that He did the work for me, and I need to believe in Him and put my faith in Him rather than me trying to be religious. If that's you, would you put up your hand right now? If that's you today, anybody, you say, that's me. Jeff, pray for me. I want to receive what Jesus did for me. He did all the work. Trust me. Anybody, you put up that hand quickly. He finished the work for you. There's nothing for you to add to it. He did the work at the cross. Is there anybody? You put up that hand right now. Anyone at all? I'll give you about 10 more seconds. You feel God's dealing with your heart. Yes, I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? You can put it down. Anybody else? Anyone else today? I'm going to ask the prayer team to come up right now to be available. Pastors, would you, and prayer team, would you come and just stretch across the front? Two things today. One will be for this one that's raised her hand. There may be others. I'm going to invite you in a minute just to come down. Even if you're up in the balcony, it's worth the trek down. Just come on down and let them pray with you today. But also, if you're here today and you say, I'm a Sabbath breaker and I can't seem, I'm constantly on the move, that today to be the day that you consecrate a day of the week to the Lord and you decide, I'm going to try to work this new rhythm into my week. Can I encourage you to do that? And enjoy it unto God and let Him refresh you. But there may be some here that you're tired, you're weary. It's interesting. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He was talking because they were trying so religiously to do things. You know what? Rest. Rest in the Lord today. And He wanted you to come to Him. And if that's you today, as we stand and as Tom leads us through a closing song, I'm going to invite you to come forward. And if you need a burden laid off, you need to pray with someone, let's just stand together. Go ahead, let's stand. And as I pray right now, but if you have a prayer need, just come and let us pray for you. And there's something to lay at the altar, a burden at your heart, I encourage you to do it and let them pray with you today. God, thank you that you're a God of rest. Thank you that you're a God that loves us so much, that, Lord, you have incorporated into our week a day to spend unto you, with our friends, with our family, with whoever, God, many times with you alone, Lord, a day of solitude and quietness. And Lord, I pray that you will liberate some of us from legalism on this, and we'll understand, Lord, that you gave it to us, you made it for us. And the Lord, in that, we will be a church of healthy people that are resting in you. Any needs and burdens that we have and we come forward on right now, God, we pray that you'll minister around these altars to these that come and bring us peace, we pray in Jesus' name.